We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
We're back. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, Mr. Cleland. How was your long weekend?
It was long. Mm. It was wonderful.
Yes.
I think like everybody that didn't work Monday, I know those of you that did work Monday, because there were a lot of people that were working on Monday.
Yeah.
We weren't one of them, which is a rarity, because usually we are in here. Mm-hmm. And if you want to call this work, that's fine, but I still love it. It was good.
Yeah.
Saw a parent brawl.
Oh, what? Wait.
A parent brawl.
Hold on. How do you not lead off with
that? I didn't
see
it. I wasn't there, but my wife told me it happened. It happened. Kind of a brawl. It was kind of a big, big deal this weekend. If you're into basketball, this is one of the biggest presidential tournaments for... I think it was bonkers. LeBron James' son was up here.
What?
Portland? Yeah. They were that kind of level of talent all over. Wow. They had teams from Arizona, Nevada, Colorado.
Where was
basketball?
This
it was all over. It was all over the entire Rose City in Vancouver. Oh. It was huge, massive basketball tournament.
Wow. So what happened? Parents fought?
Well, that's what happens when you play a sixth grade team and the people have sideburns and a fresh shave.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Well, some kids develop differently.
In sixth grade.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. So, yeah, a couple parents got upset.
Second.
Things happen, a little saltiness. And
this is the second weekend in a row we will quote Dodgeball. Damn it, Bernice!
I'm telling you.
Beaver tranquilizer and steroids.
I wonder if anyone else has the experience when they just look at other and he's like, you know what? For a sixth grader, that's a man.
Yeah. I had a buddy in seventh grade who needed to shave. Like, legitimately. Yeah, like, no, he had a beard. But it was only like one of those kids. The fact that like
but
you
the parents
can get a whole
admitted
team.
They were eighth graders. They're like, yeah, wait. They're supposed to be they're eighth what? Graders. Yeah, yeah.
Well, then how'd they get into the tournament?
It doesn't matter. So you could say whatever you want. You could say we're a whatever team. We're a whatever group you want. Variations. Yeah. Hey, you were born in January, but maybe we can fudge that by a year or two. It really doesn't matter. This is why I always say it doesn't matter till everybody turns 16. That's kind of how I look at it now. You get to that 16-year age, and everybody kind of just evens out. This is all a showcase stuff for everybody and a moneymaker for these hoop source tournaments, which, you know, they do a good job.
See, here's my question.
$10 to get in, Dusty. $10.
Wait, to watch?
To watch.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
$10.
I can see why you weren't there. You know, only one parent can go this week.
Are you kidding me? I'd take my whole family and be in $50. Well, no, wife's a coach. So $30 to watch a game.
Bucks. No, thanks.
Anyway.
No, thanks. You can get into an AAF game for that.
Damn
heck,
right.
You can get into college football games for that. You can go see the Browns play for that.
That's what I'm saying.
$10.
Working it.
Going
good
some-
weekend. Didn't get a chance to watch any AAF this weekend because I was swamped with sports.
I did.
This is good. Was it any good this weekend?
You know what?
They couldn't make their payroll.
Yeah, that's a whole deal. I have a little note on that. It's not like a whole segment, but it's a note on the AAF. You're right. They couldn't make their payroll.
They needed a cash injection.
Yeah, and coming on week two, not a good sign. Mm-hmm. But product was a little bit better. Well, receivers mm-hmm. weren't dropping absolutely everything.
Yeah.
The offensive line still sucks, though.
As they should.
Yeah, it's what do you expect in here? But I watched a little bit of that, and we're just in a weird sports time right now. And then we had All-Star Weekend, too. Did you watch any of those festivities?
Oh, I watched the entire All-Star game with the kids.
The whole game?
Yeah.
Watch the whole game?
Watch the whole game. Start to finish.
That's a...
The highlight of the game.
Snoozer.
Highlight of the game? The bounce pass. The bounce lob. Which
we
got a
more.
Little... Yeah, but that was... It was a great bounce. And then when you lost, you're like, oh, Antetokounmpo got really high. He did. There's no one else in the league that probably could have done that.
No. What?
That when I was... say the bounce pass was Steph, which was spectacular, and the finish by Antetokounmpo, and then Dame had a pretty Big good game. Third quarter. Good yeah. third quarter. And he was in to finish. How yeah. about that?
Well, it's not who starts, it's who finishes games.
Dang,
you know?
Right it is.
Every bench player ever was
tapping
told that.
The wrist, and it was Lillard time.
The thing about the Curry Giannis bounce oop is that was like the most viral clip ever. Because when you watched it live, you're like, whoa.
That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty cool. But when it went viral and you could watch it on the internet over and over and over again, you saw that the ball went out of the picture. Like it went completely out of the camera's view and then dropped right back in.
Yeah.
And Giannis was able to dunk it. Yeah. So we had that Daytona 500.
Yeah. Watched a little bit. Just a little bit. Second time in 3 years, correct? The winner?
Four.
4 years.
Just second and four.
Second and four.
Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Who is a Jordan driver. Do you notice that? His little fire retardant jumpsuit is Jordan brand.
It's a crossover brand. I think what did Michael Jordan shoes last quarter? It was some $140 million worth of shoes sold in America alone. That's not bad.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But you never think of race car driving when you think of Jordan brand, but his guy has won 2 in 4 years now.
Yeah.
We watched the last, we tried to watch the last like five laps. We just flipped it on then. And we ended up seeing two monster crashes.
Yeah.
It was something else. 21 car pileup. 21. That's half the field. Was in a pileup, so Daytona 500.
Looked like a Cars movie.
Yeah.
It was a good sports weekend. I thought the three-point contest was a little underwhelming. Some guy from Brooklyn won it.
Yeah. Joe Harris?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying, because there's 95% of the people out there went, question mark? Who?
Yeah.
Joe? He had a great, I mean, his shot is beautiful.
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever seen him play before, at least not consciously. I've probably seen a game that had him in it.
No, you don't notice him.
His shot is beautiful.
It is. I mean, it
gorgeous.
Was, and I don't mean to, I mean, get all like hyperbole here, but it was like Klay Thompson-esque. I mean, he's got the gooseneck thing going down. I mean, it was just perfect for him. He's perfect for that contest.
It almost looks like, you know, have you ever heard of the Iron Byron? It's a golf machine that hits golf clubs. I mean, it put a golf club in it. It's a robot and swings in the same form every time you test your golf clubs with it. He looked like he was just in just perfect machine-like stroke. It just didn't move. Nothing changed.
Isn't that amazing, though, when you watch guys that have that repetition and it's just like, it, like you said, machine-like, and they can do it over and over and over again. And it is so effortless. And then you watch some other guys shoot and you go, there's a lot of moving parts in that. Whereas with what like Joe Harris does, he doesn't have to jump.
Nope.
It's just
set shooter. I told you
boom,
that.
Boom, boom.
I told you set shooter comes in. He's a small, small credit card jumper.
By the way, what did you guys see Danny Green's form? I didn't realize just how weird and shot put like his.
A lot of effort too.
It's hard to imagine that being so effective.
Although Dirk.
But it is.
But it is.
Although Dirk.
Yeah.
It was a good effort, Dirk. It was a good effort. He made up for it in the game.
Not the
in the All-Star
part.
Game,
he
it
made
was
up
a good
for it
effort.
In the game.
Yeah, he got all his misses out in the three-point contest.
Incredible. I can't imagine what he's going to feel like in about 10 years. Because he looks like he's in so much pain playing. Or he's kind of always looked like that.
Being 7 foot's hard.
It is. Well, of course it's hard. But it feels like he's really going to be in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Like they put the ice on the knees and it just, well, like things look like they hurt.
Again, being 7 foot. Have you ever seen an old.
That's what I'm saying. Being tall is way overrated.
Have
folks.
You ever seen an old person who's like, well, was 7 feet, but now they're like 6'8 because they've shrunk walking around? It looks like they're in the worst pain ever.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, they're just, you're not supposed to be that big, you know? It's really
like all
hard
the old guys
body.
And they came out and took pictures. Magic looks great. Magic is just everywhere he walks, he's just a ball of sunshine.
It really is.
He is. He is still, I believe this to my core, the most popular man in basketball. I mean, he can light up a room more than any person. Just when he is in his aura, how he carries himself, when he walks out somewhere, it's bigger than Jordan. It's bigger than LeBron.
Yeah, because it's the smile. Like if he was in high school, he'd get best smile.
Oh, it's incredible.
He had to have won best smile in high school. All right, coming up on today's show, why do we criticize the unknown? We'll talk about that in the textual relations. Kyler Murray and Tim Tebow spoke this weekend, and it brings up a pretty decent question about why guys get torn down when you have no idea. Antonio Brown's back on his BS. We'll talk about that in the NFL. Charles Barkley sounds off on the state of the NBA and some pretty interesting quotes on the Open Floor podcast over the weekend, as Sir Charles not happy with one NBA star in the way that the NBA is running right now. And then, as we said, we will have a little bit of a couple AAF notes from over the weekend. And Major League Baseball is in a bit of a pickle right now because of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's all coming up on today's show, but where we start. Oh, Buck, there we go.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Oh, what 2 years can do, folks. Back in 2017, just 2 years ago, we had one of the most heartwarming stories of the NBA All-Star Weekend. It was in New Orleans, and Anthony Davis won the MVP. The crowd went wild and was cheering for him, and it was Anthony Davis, Pelican for life.
Oh.
That was just 2 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah. That he was the All-Star MVP. The crowd was going nuts for him in his home city.
Yeah.
And now he wants out desperately.
Well, as his coach said, kind of a dumpster fire.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Somebody
and
got
it's
fired.
All crumbling.
Somebody got fired. Did you see that?
Yeah, Dell Demps got fired. Dell Demps, the GM, got fired over Anthony Davis leaving, apparently. All right. That was Today in Sports History, just 2 years ago, where we start. Let's talk about Damian Lillard in the All-Star game. And is this the most boring sports time of the year? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, All-Star Weekend in Charlotte this past weekend. Really slow sports weekend. We had a little bit of golf where there's shorts news. We got shorts news in golf.
I think the bigger story is how well Phil Mickelson's calves look in shorts.
Yeah, and yes, that is, well, Phil Mickelson's taking credit on social media. Mm-hmm. As the PGA Tour said, practice rounds and yeah. Pro-Ams, you can now wear shorts, because he posted a picture of himself asking to wear shorts and his calves flexing.
Uh-huh.
That guy must ride a bike everywhere.
Well, he walks. You know, how many miles do you think is the average golf walk? 6.5 miles.
Is it?
It's around.
I was going to say like 4, yeah, but 6.5.
Six and a half miles. So you're always active. Right. You're walking. I mean, there's John Daly type body. Then there's Phil Mickelson taking care. Remember the days in the early 2000s when Phil was a little out of shape?
What was it? A little?
Well, he was just in that early stages. Come on, man. You're on the verge.
Yeah.
Dad bod is catching you.
Hey.
It catches everybody.
Was it 06, that first jump of his that he barely got off the ground?
He's not a leaper.
I know. Well, look, those calves would indicate otherwise.
Right. And I think pants are should be well accepted as part of the tradition at the Masters. Other than that, I don't need to see you in pants. If you want to wear short pants, wear short pants. It's hot out.
That's the most golf term ever, calling them short pants. In the rule book, it is probably you are allowed to wear short pants in practice rounds and pro-ams.
Yeah, they're not going to be cargo shorts. They have to be called short pants.
I can't wait until the Euros go super short and tight, and that's when the fuddy-duddies go, okay, no, we're revoking your shorts.
They've done that with the LPGA because it got a little aggressive.
What they called, they outlawed swooping necklines.
Yes, they said it was getting a little scantily out there, which...
Well, goodness gracious.
If you want guys to watch women's golf, please don't put them in 1998 Annika Sorenstam pleated Dockers.
Well, they're putting them in the old Tiger Woods Nike polos that were like a big old garbage bag on them.
Very beefy.
Okay. So that's hot golf talk. But we had a little bit of golf. We had a little bit of racing. A little tiny bit of I don't want to call it semi-pro football. Developmental football. But All-Star Weekend was on center stage. In Charlotte, North Carolina, Team LeBron beating Team Giannis 178-164 in a defensive slobber knocker.
A record was set. Did you see?
No.
52 points in one quarter. An all-star game record.
Oh. First quarter for Team Giannis?
Yeah. They made a lot. They made a lot of threes.
Well, didn't Team LeBron had a 50-point quarter.
They had a 50-point quarter. They tied the record. But it was the previous record. 200's never been reached. I wonder if it ever will.
Really? I think it will be.
You think so?
We're going to hit
a ton. You
have
to shoot the lights out because there are some guys, Russell Westbrook, some really bad shooting. Bad shooting.
Well, Damian Lillard wasn't great from the field.
Until the third quarter.
There was a push. Like, I saw a lot of Blazer fans saying, oh, Dame got ripped off for MVP. He should have been game MVP. And you could argue, he went 6 of 17.
Yeah.
6 of 17.
Yeah, it's a lot of shots.
All of his shots were three-pointers.
Yep.
But he did make some big ones in the third quarter, like half court.
He did.
But you're not going to win an MVP going 6 of 7. You made a third of your shots.
Yeah.
You know, like nobody's calling that the MVP performance. Blazer fans need to pump the brakes on that a little bit. It was fun to see, though.
You got to facilitate a little bit in the All-Star game.
Wasn't it fun to see a guy with the pinwheel, though, making a massive impact in the All-Star game?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because
Did you hear his interview
that.
At the end? He said, I feel like I'm a veteran out here. I've been here a lot. You could see it meant a lot to Dame that he was on the floor at the close of the game. The last 5 minutes, he was on the floor with LeBron. So what was that line? It was LeBron, KD.
Harden.
Harden, Anthony Davis.
And
Dame, right?
Yeah.
Those are those five.
Yes.
Did I say Dame twice?
Well, I don't.
I probably did.
Was Anthony Davis on the floor?
I thought he was. Maybe not. No, it was a smaller lineup. It might have been smaller.
I think
it was
Kyrie closing, may have been in there.
Yes, it was Kyrie, Dame, LeBron, KD.
And Harden. Against a bunch of giants on Team Giannis.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the credit that he's worked up over. He's a first-team All-NBA player. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise. No. He just doesn't get a billion votes like all these other guys do to be an All-Star game starter. And so, I mean, that is cool to see, and I'm sure it is rewarding for Damian Lillard to see that it doesn't matter if he's in a small market, he can still get that pub, and he can still be, you know, the first interview following the All-Star game. No bench player played more minutes than Damian Lillard in the All-Star game. He played 25.
Who was the starters again for Team LeBron?
Everybody that you just said, except for Kawhi Leonard was a starter instead of Dame.
And Kawhi was just, he was average in that game. That's who he is.
A lot of these guys just
his personality. They didn't really feel like it. And I know the whole entire weekend was kind of interesting from the celebrity game on Friday, which was
Ray Allen taking that game far too seriously.
Well,
we talked about Joe Harris. We forgot how beautiful Ray Allen's shot is.
It's a great shot.
Oh my God!
It's a very nice shot. Super efficient. The weekend of dunk contest and 3-point and skills challenge was also. I still believe that the dunk contest should go first. Skills should be last.
The palate cleanser.
Yeah, and then the three-pointer should be the meat and the sandwich.
Right in the middle. Dunk contest, is it back?
No.
You don't think so?
That was terrible.
But hold on.
All done before, so you need me to tell me we're going to see a dunk where the elbow hang.
Right.
Already done before. The Superman logo. Now on four times
The elbow hang was done on individual dunks where it was just elevate to show you I can get up that high. He jumped over Shaq
and
did the elbow hang.
He did, but then he pushed over and then Shaq bent his head over. It was like,
Oh, so he'd only jump 7 feet instead of 7'3"?
I'm at the point where it's not even unique. We've had cars, we've had jumping, what are we doing?
I thought the dunk contest was an upgrade when you got to the winning dunks.
I'm tired of the misses. Good. The incessant misses, ball bounce miss, where it's four in a row, and the anticlimactic is just, it's all right.
Yeah, I think that the Dennis Smith Jr. dunk over J. Cole was really impressive. I think that Hamidou Diallo one that we're talking about with Shaq was really impressive. My problem is it took us an hour to see those two dunks. Yeah. Over and over again, these guys are trying and failing, and it's like...
It's tough
to watch.
Well, and here's where it's different. Is that when it was the stars that were missing those dunks?
They never missed.
It was, oh my God.
Not to the way they miss now. Because they've advanced, because you've seen so many kind of dunks. I watched these scenes specifically. You were four. Trust me, they didn't miss like this because they don't do the kind of things they do now.
Right.
Michael Jordan's dunk from the free throw line, you don't miss that dunk because it's just a straight on dunk. Now they have so many props and they have different things they're doing. They're trying to be acrobatic. They're more difficult. The degree of difficulty is higher.
Exactly.
No question. But is it interesting? That's the point. Is it turned out to where it's interesting? And I don't think it's interesting.
But if it was like immediately after the game, Giannis, or on Saturday evening, Giannis tweeted out dunk contest next year. Question mark. And then you had guys like Donovan Mitchell say, if you do it, I'm in.
Yeah.
If Zion is in it next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You need a personality.
It. If you have the stars in it, the misses won't linger as much. When it's a bunch of guys you don't know and you're like, really? This is supposed to be what makes me remember you. Then it becomes ultimately forgettable. If it's stars that miss those dunks, I don't think people are saying it was as big of a whiff as it is. You know, because we didn't say that when Dwight Howard missed a lot back when he was a star.
I said the same thing when a three-point contest was bad. I mean, watching Dirk shoot was painful, and he's a star. I mean, it wasn't great. You're never going to get to the point where you see that kind of Larry Bird and Hodges type of matchup where you're seeing these guys or Spud Webbs, or that's the things that you're seeing. And I know where it's just so difficult to try to replicate what's already been done in the past. It is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, it's hard to replicate because people will say, I'm bored. I've already seen that before.
Yeah.
I saw the grainy footage of that,
yeah,
that dunk already. And so these guys are forced to go.
So that is
more
why my question was, is I would like to see the dunk contest elevation challenge where every dunk,
raise it up an inch.
There's a 4 to 5 inch elevation change.
God.
Where by the time we get to a 12-foot hoop and see if Giannis can do it. That would be more interesting to me as you start to see each level go up. Could it be a 360 at 11 feet? Those things would start to be like, he got it. That would be interesting.
Would it be based on each person's height or just the same hoop for everybody?
Same across the board. You can't do that. Yeah, because everything starts at 10 feet and you just work your way up.
Poor little Spud Webb would have never won a dunk contest.
Well, no, that's then. We're
Nate
talking
Robinson
now.
Wouldn't have won like 16 of them.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, Nate Robinson only should have won one.
I know.
One. He totally stole a dunk contest.
He took like a decade of dunk contests to himself.
My God, that was atrocious. All right. All-Star Weekend. I think all three of us watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
And that's what the NBA, the beauty of the NBA right now is that they have it on a weekend where there's absolutely nothing. There's no baseball. There's no football going on. They can own this weekend, and we watch a subpar product because they don't have to put anything out there that's all that great. And boom, there we have it. Text on 55305, the Better You Today text line. LeBron's closing five was an open recruitment. LeBron wanted to give a feel for those guys that he'd like to play with together. It felt very obvious that tampering collusion is the norm. It's easy to predict. And eyes are on Dame from Robin Sherwood. That was the most predictable thing coming out of the
Damian Lillard to the Lakers. Would you cheer for him if he was a Laker when he came back?
Never.
How evil
never.
Is that? Really?
No. Lakers, man. It's the Lakers.
No, even I cheered for the Lakers when Gary Payton played for
him. It's the Laker hater club.
Yeah.
It's the Laker hater club. It's called, having an alliance to your team, you know?
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah.
55305, why do we criticize the unknown? Kyler Murray and Tim Tebow spoke over the weekend, and they both catch heat and have caught heat over the last several years. Why do we criticize that unknown? First is Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
24-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over-text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Why do we criticize the unknown with our athletes? Kyler Murray has made a decision that very few have the option of making, and he was asked about it over the weekend, and here was his answer.
Not many people have been in this position to have to, you know, just quit one. It's not easy just to, you know, drop one like this, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I had to, obviously had to pick one. And you know, my gut, my heart, it's all in football. So, did I feel like I could be successful at baseball? Yes. But at the end of the day, I'm a football player.
And he says that, and he gets criticized because height. He's what, maybe 5'10", maybe. And we'll find out at the combine. But a lot of the comparisons that he has is to a guy who quit football to try another sport, right? And a guy who was always criticized for going after the baseball route, and that is Tim Tebow. And Tebow said something that really sparked your attention over the weekend, and it's a question that begs to be asked.
You know, it's really trying to keep perspective and not letting other people define you, because they sure do want to. And shoot, it's, you know, I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. And don't be defined by outside sources. You go after your dreams. Succeeding or failing is not making it to the bigs, or it's not necessarily fulfilling that. It's having to not live with regret because I didn't try. And, you know, I just feel for all the young people out there that don't go after something because they're so afraid of failing, that you're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because how much you will be criticized. And what if I fall flat on my face? And so fear and doubt and all these things creep in. And I just don't believe that's the healthiest way to live. I don't want to have to live with fear or doubt every day. And, you know, regardless of what everyone here says about me, and I'm so grateful that doesn't define me. There's one thing that defines me, and that's what God says about me. And besides that, I get to go live out my dreams and try to help as many people along the way as possible.
Interesting stuff from both of those guys who have a unique perspective of being able to play at a high level in two different sports.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things that comes out of that. And Kyler Murray went on to talk about how he really did. He felt bad about the A's. This is his quote. He says, "My relationship with the A's, I will have that forever." He goes on to say, "At the end of the day, they drafted me, the A's, and my heart will always be an A because they took the time to do that. Obviously, it's a dream that's come true, being the number 9 pick in the first round to them. It was kind of tough. It was like breaking up with a girlfriend, if you can think of it that way. But it was hard to have those conversations, for sure." Both these guys have had those decisions, and there's going to be naysayers on the other side. I mean, how many times do you think that Tebow's been called for the AAF? What would your guess be how many times he's been called?
He said Spurrier keeps on calling him all the time.
Yeah, because there's always that in the back of the mind that says, you can go back to the NFL. And I could make, not only make all these naysayers feel like that's their job, is to say, I can't do something. And so I listen to that, and everyone's going to go, okay, here we go with another God comment from Tebow, and the uplifting feeling of Tebow, and he's such a sideshow, and he's fake, and he doesn't. No, he's not. No, he's not. And I always ask myself this. What is it? Why do we sit here and want to always criticize somebody that wants to make a decision that you don't agree with? What is the internal motivation to look at Tim Tebow or Kyler Murray and immediately say, you're too short, you're too slow, okay, your throwing's too bad, why are you playing baseball? You're just there to sell tickets. Baseball's got a big decision on their hands because they're looking for stars, they're looking for interesting. Okay, there's a lot of really bad basketball players out there, and there's certainly a lot of bad football players, but they're interesting. So what's wrong with what Tebow does? What does the internal motivation tell you to say when you wake up in the morning, immediately want to tell somebody they can't do something?
Well, and that is it. The why do we criticize? And what it is it's an unknown. Nobody knows if Kyler Murray will be successful in the NFL. We hear criticism, though, over his height, the style of play that he played in. Russell Wilson had the same kind of deal. You didn't know how it was going to pan out. And with Tebow, it's the same thing, but there's this unknown about baseball. Like, nobody knows how good of a baseball player he is. This text on the Better You Today text line, we criticized Tebow because he's a horrible baseball player and rolled out of bed and said, I'll try baseball well. Now, that's not how it works. He's a sideshow, a circus freak, if you will. You know, Tim Tebow, his first year in instructional league, he hit 194. Yeah. Then his first full season playing minor league baseball in single A hit 226. Do you know what he hit last year in double A? Double A, which is, you know, the next step up, you go to the bigs. It's not triple A. A lot of guys get brought up from double to bigs. He hit 273 in double A baseball last year. His strikeouts have gone down. Now, he still struck out over 100 times, but he has progressed into 273 at double A baseball.
Yeah. I'll read this. He says, you know what? Blank Tebow. I absolutely did. His text on the Better You Today. I absolutely know what it takes to be a ball player. Do you? My 12-year-old son is a better ball player than he is. He loves the game. He puts in the work. He does get opportunities. He does get opportunities simply because of his name, and he sells tickets. Well, here's a news flash. Duh. Come on, guys. This is where we get to the point that, do you think there's obviously always going to be people that get opportunities based on, number one, who they know? How many times has someone looked at you and said it's about who you know, not what you know? Right? It's your network. It's your what you do for a living isn't always, you're not going to get to the top by just sitting there and wishing in one hand and crap in the other. See which one fills up first. That is the truth. You have to be willing to sometimes humble yourself. Tim Tebow takes advantage of it. But at least he does it in a way that you could sit there and say, yeah, he goes out and sells tickets. Yeah, he does that. But for those listed that were listening to Dusty just put stats, it's not crap. It's not. Yeah. So if you have somebody always telling you you can't do something, I look at this from the sports perspective or real life. If you're surrounded by naysayers like this all the time that are just full of it, what is the one word you think of that immediately comes to mind when someone constantly is around you doing that and telling you that? What is that? Who is that person? Mm-hmm. What is it?
A negative Nancy, man. I mean, honestly, if you're that person,
it's like a fire blanket. Have you ever been around that person that just always wants to just cover up the fire?
A fun sponge?
That's all they do. That's their job, is to constantly tell you why you can't do something. So at least these two guys, one guy is too short and too small, and the other guy has a bad throwing motion, and all he is a situational quarterback from a lost, gone era of 15 years ago or 10 years ago. And all he's doing is having fun playing a game. He's getting paid for it, and it just can't make people happy.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Why do we criticize the unknown? We don't know what Tim Tebow will be as a baseball player. We don't know what Kyler Murray will be as a football player. Yet, these are the things that aren't just sports related. They go across all forms of our life. You know, we're taking these two guys into sports realm, but this happens and overlaps everywhere in our everyday life. The criticizing of the unknown. We'll get to some of your feedback. Some thoughtful responses on the Better You Today text line 55305. It is 644 on the Fan. Get up! Kyler Murray, Tim Tebow, why do we criticize the unknown? That's our textual relations today, 55305, the Better You Today text line. Some good feedback coming in. And this is pretty good. P1 Alex says, I feel like the people complaining about Tebow or Murray are the guys who Tebow quoted. They're the didn't, couldn't, wouldn't, and they just are flat out jealous. And on top of that, it's interesting. I love it when the text line does this, because the very next text that we get is from P1 Jordan, who says, we criticize the unknown because we fear it. It's the fear, and it shows itself as jealousy, like that moron who mentioned his 12-year-old kid who said these players don't love the game. How does he know that? He doesn't know who they are, how they feel. He's just jealous, and that he and his kid are never going to be in the dilemma of which pro sport do I play. It's jealousy, and jealousy is rooted in fear. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that texter is actually a moron, but who mentioned,
boy,
you know,
when you put you look, this is what we do here for this segment, is give you a chance and a voice to answer a question. And when you put it on our text line, we're going to read it sometimes, whether you like it or not. So the fact that it's a full disclosure that you can disagree, and you could be, that's what's free about this whole forum that we put out every week. And no matter if you like Tebow or not, if you like Kyler Murray, whether you like Baker Mayfield or not, every single one of these guys have one common denominator. They're at the highest level in the world. And every time you look at them, you're going to find something wrong with them on a daily basis, because you never got there. Mm-hmm. And that makes you feel better. That's kind of what we do all the time. It's human nature. It's okay to admit it. It's a major fault we all have, no matter what. And once you get past that point, you're like, oh, I get it. Okay. Because you feel like, oh, I've been slighted. I didn't get my shot. At least Tebow understands that, and he is a humble young man that's working his butt off. And look, it's the window, right? We all have our window. Mm-hmm. Okay? Whatever your earning window is. Mine was like 22 to 26, and then it was like, hang on, baby.
Slam shut.
Hang on like there's no tomorrow. It's like that kid hanging on at the end of the spinning merry-go-round because it's going too fast.
Yeah.
It closed. The door was closed. At least I always look to these guys. I go, man, you got a shot to earn it. And Tebow's like, he's never going to put two birds up and tell you this, but he kind of did in his own way, is that keep saying it, keep fueling my fire.
And you know, here's the backup behind that is the guy who said, you know, my 12-year-old kid brought him up and said, fair enough, guys, fair enough. I simply will not teach my kids to look for a shortcut because of their name. I will teach them if you work hard enough, maybe you'll get a shot.
So explain this to me. When did the Tebow family gain their name?
Well, when he did by playing football, right?
He earned, well, to this young man or this dad or this father, I want to ask yourself this. Did you know who Tim Tebow was prior to 2006?
Probably not.
Was it the Bush family name?
The what?
Well, I'm just taking it. Was it the Rockefellers?
No.
Tim, he did it on his own. Right. He put in the work and put in the effort and showed he was an athlete. What did he do? That's why I asked you that. It's not like he was given the opportunity. He was born with a gift and he maximized it and he's doing it again. Yet you want to say it's a criticism. I don't think that way. You look, to each their own. Yeah. I don't understand. I can't comprehend always wanting to put down somebody for trying something that you would never do or be jealous of. There's difference between somebody that is a trust fund baby, that mom and dad just give them a bunch of money and they sleep in the basement and all they do is wake up every morning and go, oh, dude, what's up? Nudie magazine day. This is that. There's a big difference. Sorry, Billy Madison quote. That's the difference. This isn't, Kyler Murray is not a trust fund kid. He's a small, slighted dude. Baker Mayfield's not a trust. I mean, yeah, he's grew up like that, but he's earned everything he's done. Do I like him? No. Doesn't mean he's not good at it.
And that's the thing is that I don't think that there's anybody out there that hasn't used the successes that they've had to leverage something better and give themselves a better opportunity, right? And that's absolutely what Tebow did when he started this baseball thing. But the progress that he's made, you can look at it. You can watch him as a ball player. You can watch it. Look at his stats as the three seasons that he's been at this, and they have gone up. You know, this text is a good point, too. It says, the same people that are criticizing Tebow are the ones that praise Jordan for doing it as the greatest of all time and a great athlete for playing two different sports.
Yeah.
You know,
was he great at baseball? No.
If you look at what Tebow's done, which is funny, Tebow had twice as many home runs.
He's a million times better.
In fewer games.
Yeah.
And has a way higher batting average, slugging percentage, on base percentage than Michael Jordan did.
I will tell you this. I do believe it's that funny, hitting a baseball that moves like it does in the game of majors baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. That's why Hall of Famers are 3 out of 10. Because it's incredibly difficult to do. The fact that Tebow's done it with some high-level talent is pretty impressive. That 99.999% of the people that we threw out in front of a 95-mile-an-hour fastball wouldn't even know to get their bat off the shoulder. And all he did was figure it out in about a year and a half. To be somewhat competent and credible.
Well, 273 is more than competent and credible. I mean, it's enough to get you continue to move forward.
But who wouldn't want to have that kind of infectious attitude around your locker room or around you? You know how nice it is to be around positive people? I struggle with it on a daily basis. I'm not the most positive person all the time. I can admit my fault on the day. I try to surround and find positive, good people like that. To have him around you, to wake up every day and have that guy to come in the locker room with a smile on his face and go, thank you, I'm here to work. And you're like, how does he do it? It's infectious. Mm-hmm. You need to have it.
This text, better you today, text line 55305. I feel like the only people that I've heard criticize Kyler Murray in this are the people that get paid to do so. The ESPN talking heads need ratings and the NFL people who need to shake up the draft. But Murray is going to be the first or second quarterback drafted. It doesn't sound like it's too bad. But here's the thing is that, yeah, you may be, there's always the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, you know, and those guys will criticize everything and anything, which I don't think helps this conversation of why do we criticize the unknown, but it's gone around for years. I mean, look at Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie's the guy won a Heisman Trophy, had everything going for him except for his height, and he ended up having to play in the CFL for a majority of his career. You know, Russell Wilson saw the same thing.
Yeah.
Before the hot take era that we're in now.
I know we say it's jealousy, and the reason why this was so interesting to me, because it's a life lesson a lot of us can learn. Not all of us are going to be able to practice that on a daily basis. But it is cool to sometimes look at an athlete when we see all the athletes today that all they do is shine their social media and shine their whatever they're pitching or whatever they're kicking off to their next opportunity, from shoes to this. And all Tebow did was just give you a message. And that's kind of what, take it for what it's worth. You can do whatever you want with it. You can tell your kid to work harder, or you can tell your kid that's enough. It's up to you as a parent. I have no magical parent pill, but it's kind of cool occasionally when you see something like that and you go, hey, you know what? Good little message. Take it for what it's worth.
Why do we criticize the unknown? Kyler Murray, Tim Tebow, they take a lot of heat for their individual decisions to pick a sport that they did. I think it crosses over into everyday life where we fear what we just don't know. You know, we're afraid of it because we've never seen it before.
Oh, it's what I say about football all the time. You're afraid football is going to destroy your brain and you're afraid of all this stuff, but you don't know. You don't know. You're taking the words of all these things and all these fears to drive you.
Well, you remember, like, to take an NBA one too, do you remember when shooting the three-pointer was not a successful way to win basketball games?
No.
You know, I mean,
not efficient.
Just a couple of years ago, Charles Barkley was pounding the drum. One of the best shows on TV was Inside the NBA on TNT, and Charles was saying a predominantly three-point shooting team will never win a title. And then the Golden State Warriors happened.
But are they predominantly three-point?
Over
50% of their shots are three-pointers?
No, but what he means is exactly what the Warriors play. And his point was the Warriors and the Blazers is one of them locally. Yeah. He said the
Blazers
will
never win. You got to be able to shoot.
You will not. A team that shoots that much will not win. And guess what? Yeah. They're doing it. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Good, thoughtful conversation on there. We'll revisit it coming up. Next hour, we'll have Antonio Brown's back on his BS. But next, hot and cool on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.